Welcome, welcome, welcome back once again to Real Talk Rangers. We are honored and thrilled to present to you our 10th ever podcast of Real Talk Rangers. So we've officially reached the double-digit mark. Having a lot of fun
scary.
With it.
Scary.
It is scary. Time flies when you're having fun. we're having fun with it. We hope that all you guys are having fun with it. I think that it's keeping me well informed, loving talking about all this stuff. Hopefully you guys are enjoying it as well. We try to mix it up, bring some different takes on from around the league, and also we actually have our first guest ever on the program today, so be sure to stay tuned for that. That'll come about halfway through this pod. We're going to get into the Capitals with our buddy Alex Viana, and that should be a great interview. So first off, we want to start, as we're going to start every single pod, with our beer of the pod, or BOP, some of our favorite segments here. This is probably atop the list. So, what are you drinking over there, Derek?
So this week, you know, I didn't go out last night, and it's a little bit later in the day on Sunday, so I feel a little bit, you know, a little bit more comfortable drinking a beer right now.
No coffee
so
in the pod
drinking
today.
No coffee today. We're gonna go beer.
Okay.
I'm actually drinking this beer out of what we like to call the oil can.
Oh.
So it is a big ass Foster's.
Nice.
Which if you didn't know, is Australian for beer.
Is it Australian for beer?
It's Australia. Do you remember those commercials? They're hilarious.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Foster's. Australian for beer.
Australian for
beer.
All right,
so that's what I'm drinking. It's delicious. I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it not only for the taste, but just the fact of the size of the can. It's just too good.
It's a power can. You got to have a power hold on that can.
When I take the train home on the Metro North, there's a lot of guys that drink the Foster's, and it just makes you look more manly with the can like
yeah,
that.
It really does.
So just keep that in mind.
Look around, mark your territory. Yeah, I'm drinking a Foster's.
yep.
I'm drinking, I'm going all American here, I'm drinking a leftover Coors Light.
Oh.
So,
it's Coors Rockies.
Yeah, had some left in the fridge from this weekend, and that's what I'm going with. So it's always brewed cold, drinks cold. So yeah, we're on our way here.
That's a little bit more quantity than quality there, I'd say.
Yeah, you could say that. A little more whatever's in the fridge this morning.
Gotcha.
So we wanted to get into the Army hockey season, right? A little
yes.
update.
Yeah, so I when I was a kid, I used to go to a lot of Army hockey games. I'm local up here in Newburgh here. So I recently got season tickets to this season, figuring it'd be something fun to do on the weekends. So just wanted to shout out to Army hockey right now. Right now they're 6-3-1 overall and 6-2 in the conference. So having a pretty good
nice.
Year. They're actually really a high goal-scoring team. Their goalie, Gahagan, is one of the best in the conference. He's won Player of the Month, I think, a few times in his career so far. We played Canisius this weekend.
Like the lake.
Canisius like the lake back in the SUNY Geneseo days up there.
Genesoa.
They shut out Canisius 3-0 on Friday and then won 5-1 on Saturday, so pretty dominant fashion. So I'll keep you updated on the Army stuff going on throughout the year, but they're having a pretty good year so far, and hopefully they can do something in the playoffs this year. So
awesome,
we'll
absolutely. And
yeah,
very
and you
fitting.
Support the troop. Oh, wait.
Very fitting that we discuss the Army hockey season a couple days after Veterans Day. Respect to everyone that has served the country, and we obviously are rooting hard for the boys, for the Army boys.
That's right.
So
that's
we'll
right.
keep you updated on their season, which is definitely very interesting. We wanted to just do a quick weekend review for the Rangers now. We have three games to talk about that we experienced over the week. Obviously, as everybody knows, the Rangers are still looking good. They're at 11-4 right now, so top of the Metro, tied with the Penguins, but we have more regulation overtime wins at the moment. We're second in the East behind only the incredible, I don't know what to say about them, Montreal Canadiens, who are 13-1-1. But we'll talk about them a little later, perhaps. The Rangers, week in review, they played Sunday, last Sunday, November 6th. They beat Winnipeg 5-2. Winnipeg is not a very good team. They do have some insane young talent on their team, but you were at the game, right?
I was, yeah. So it was an interesting game. It was kind of up and down. What I did think was interesting, though, was that they gave G, Mr. Girardi, there a rest, which I think is awesome. They got Clendenning into play. I was also a little bit shocked that Lundqvist played, but that we can get into later. The biggest thing I thought about the game Sunday, listen to the goal scorers and let me know what stands out to you. So the goal scorers were Hayes, Zuccarello, Miller, Fast, Buchnevich. Did I repeat a name twice? That is the key to this Rangers season so far, is their depth. You're getting scoring from all lines.
It's a common theme.
Every line scored.
Yep.
It's crazy. But, you know, overall, Winnipeg, they have some young talent that hasn't really flourished into a complete team effort yet. Their goaltending is pretty weak. You know, pretty easy game for the Rangers, to be honest.
Right. I think the addition of Jacob Trouba back into that team will maybe inject some life there. I know they're right now they're sitting at 5-7-1, which is not exactly impressive, but I think they could go up this year. They could battle towards one of those lower playoff spots in the West, but we'll see. Next, we wanted to take a little break from solid Rangers hockey that we've seen for the most part this year and talk about Tuesday, November 8th, where we both went to the game and saw them lose in person against Vancouver 5-3 in a game, the last game they played at home before heading out to Western Canada for a road trip. So that was a really disappointing game. What were your immediate impressions?
Yeah, I mean, right out of the gate, when we were there, I mean, the first period, nobody scored any goals. It's kind of a flat period. The Rangers didn't really have a lot of offensive production. Nothing really happened. Second period, they picked it up a bit. But ultimately, the conclusion comes down to they gave up 4 goals in the third period, which is just not acceptable. Granted, it was the kind of weird thing that happened with Ronta getting hit in the head and then playing a couple more minutes and then having to come out with the concussion protocol, Lundqvist coming in cold basically and giving up the 2 goals.
Yeah, that was tough.
Kind of a strange situation in that game that we end up going down, you know, losing 5-3. We're going to talk about the concussion protocol a little bit later because I think there's some interesting things there. The other thing I question is AV's decision to play Ronta. I do understand, and I also do agree that Ronta needs to play more, Lundqvist needs to rest more, but this is a Vancouver game on a Tuesday where you're going to have 4 or 5 days break until you play again on Saturday on the West Coast. And also on top of that, you're also playing a back-to-back Saturday and Sunday on the West Coast. So I feel that Lundqvist maybe should have played Tuesday and then Ronta play against the Calgary team on Saturday that we're going to get into, who's, you know, pretty bad team overall. And then you go back with Lundqvist again against Edmonton on Sunday. But that's why he's the coach and I'm just a podcaster.
Exactly. Yeah, pretty much. Well, for now. But we
yeah, I wish.
Yeah. So Vigneault, I agree. I definitely would have gone with Hank on Tuesday. I mean, you know, like you said, you have the break coming up, and then you go out and play back-to-backs. But I can't necessarily question Vigneault too much right now. He's shown a tendency to be more amenable to changes, and he actually rested Girardi, which was a good call. It was nice to see, unlike last year where he would just play him every game without hesitating. He also shook up the lines recently for last night's game, Saturday night in Calgary. And that was – it had a lot of people shaking their heads. I mean, you have one bad game. Like, let's – okay, yeah, Kreider's not necessarily playing as well as he was earlier in the year with Zibanejad, and they were just killing everything. So all of a sudden you're going to change the lines and mix up the possible great chemistry that was there prior. But the way that they played last night, which is the last game that we want to cover in the week in review, I can't really quite – I don't know if it's necessarily going to make a huge difference at this point. I think – most of those top, really the whole team, is pretty interchangeable, which is pretty incredible. Any of those guys could at any point really play with anyone else. And again, we had four different goal scorers last night in a 4-1 win in Calgary against a team that's really not playing that well. So it was definitely a winnable game that they needed to take care of business, and they did. But at this point, really, everything's rolling. They're still playing really well. I think Tuesday was just a stinker, but every team has that every once in a while. So I'm still really liking where we're at in the standing so far.
Yeah, I think as far as the lineup shakeup is concerned, I think it's you have to approach it two ways. First of all, I think that the Rangers have a pretty strong core that has played together for so long that people can be interchanged and still perform. I think also, you know, the changing the line things is more of sort of like when you change goalies if you're down 3-0 or 4-0. It's not so much that the goalie is having a bad game, or, you know, maybe they are, but it's more just to revitalize the team. I think that when you play with the same people consistently, you get a little bit complacent in the way you play. And just a little bit of a shakeup kind of wakes everybody up and says, all right, I'm playing with this guy now. I need to do this, and I need to do this better and that better. So I think it's a good move, and I agree with what you said about everyone just being compatible with each other. I think when you stay tight to the way you play, to the system that you play, really anyone can come in and out. Also, Clendenning coming in for Girardi played a solid game. I mean, he wasn't phenomenal. He didn't really make any mistakes. Yeah, I mean, he played sort of the game you expect him to play. So I think going forward, I think the Rangers and AV need to really consider doing that with, you know, subbing out Girardi and even Staal. And even, you know, honestly, even McDonough and everybody. I think everyone needs rest here and there. Nobody wants to rest, but it's a long season, and it matters a lot when the playoffs come around. So I think it's important. I want to throw out a stat on Brady Skjei. It seems to be every week I'm talking about Brady Skjei for some reason. And again, I think I said this last week, but every week it amazes me the way he plays. This was as of last night. So among NHL defensemen with at least 10 games, Brady Skjei is first in the league for assists per 60 minutes at 2.38 and second in the league in points per 60 minutes at also 2.38.
Wow. That's an unbelievable stat.
Yeah, I mean, this is a player who, you know, came up last year for a few games. Don't forget he's a rookie. He's only played a few games in the playoffs, and now he's coming out in a phenomenal start. If he can continue this way, I said it last week, and I'll keep saying it, he's a top defenseman in this league, kind of coming out of nowhere, to be honest. I mean, we'll see if he can keep it up, but it's good progress so far.
Absolutely. And I think it's pretty much fair to say at this point that last year's playoffs, the way that he performed, it was not really a fluke. He definitely has the talent to be a solid, arguably top-pairing defensive player in the NHL, which is awesome. I just wanted to throw out a couple awesome stats on the Rangers, just team-wise. So they are 20-4 following a loss since last Christmas, last season, which is a pretty excellent number. They don't really, when they get down, they don't stay down. They come fighting right back. Also, this year, the Rangers are 10-0 this year when JT Miller shows up on the stat sheet, has any kind of a point. They have not lost this year. So I just thought that was an interesting stat. He's clearly a huge part of this team, leading the team in points, scoring still, and really just rolling with that line. Can't say enough about that line right now.
Yeah, and that just lends itself to the depth again. I mean, you know, that's your third line, and he's your top producing, you know, player as far as points are concerned out of your third line. And again, the fourth line with Grabner, Grabner scores again last night. He has 8 goals on the year. He has more goals than Ovechkin does.
Right.
Ovechkin has 7 goals this year. Michael Grabner has 8.
Yeah, that's pretty unbelievable.
It's unfathomable, really. I mean, it's really... You know, you keep saying to yourself, this can't keep happening. But the guy has scored 20 goals in a season. So, you know, does he get 20? Does he get 30? I mean, I hate to be, you know, jump to conclusions. It's 14 games of the year. But he just keeps scoring. I mean, his speed. I mean, that goal he scored last night, granted, Elliott, pretty bad positioning on Elliott's part. He beats him short side from, like, the dot, the face-off dot. But he, you know, Grabner basically blows by the defenseman and has a wide open lane and just, you know, puts one past Elliott. Really quickly on Elliott, he's in my fantasy league. I don't know what to do with this guy. I mean, this was the first game that I've watched of his, actually been able to watch it. I hate it because I can't – it's not really him. I mean, yeah, he's giving up goals that probably shouldn't go in, but his team, the team around him, Calgary right now, they can't defend anything. They can't score. They can't do anything right. So,
yeah, they're really underperforming. I expected a bit of a bump this year. They have guys – I mean, young captain Sean Monahan. They got Johnny Gaudreau. And they got – apparently they had the goalie that they thought they were missing, but it's not really playing out that way so far. I just wanted to – I mean, speaking of fantasy players, I actually just grabbed somebody off the wire, and we're going to segue into our star of the week here, my star of the week. I just grabbed Pavel Buchnevich off the wire. And
so last night I was pretty – I was very close to picking him up last night in our league, but – I don't have anyone to drop, so I didn't. But I think that's a great move by your part.
Had to do it.
He's got four goals in the last four games and two assists. He got 6 points in four games, right? I think it is.
6 points in his last four, and these are not garbage goals. This guy is making plays. This guy looks like he's been in the league scoring goals, just taking care of business for years. Again, I know we've mentioned it, we've alluded to it, just the fact that we have so much depth. There's so little pressure on Buchnevich compared to what it was supposed to be and what we expected it to be. Remember, at the end of last year, people were just clamoring for him. This guy's got to be our superstar. He's got to be our savior. We need goals. We need points. And now he's just loosey-goosey out there. Once he scored the first goal, the floodgates have certainly opened. And this kid looks like a natural. He is really, really impressing thus far.
Yeah. Brandon Peary, I think I mentioned this last week, but he said, you know, once Buchnevich got that first goal, it was kind of, you know, the piano off the back effect, and he's been playing really well since. Not that he wasn't playing well in the first, you know, five games. He played well there too, but now he's finding the back of the net. I think the good thing also with him, you know, not having as much pressure on him with VC also. I mean,
oh, of course.
You have all these other players now that you would think in most New York environments would be very high pressure, but because there's so many separate storylines going on in the Rangers right now, I feel that it's kind of a diffuse pressure for everybody, and everyone's just relaxed and playing how they should be.
Yeah, agreed.
Great thing.
Agreed. He's also getting minutes on the power play, and all of a sudden, in 10 games played this year, he's got 4 goals and 4 assists, so things are looking up for Buchnevich along with the rest of the forwards. I don't know who your star of the week was.
Yeah, I mean, my star was also Booch.
Okay, there we go.
It pretty much has to be. I mean, he's 6 points in the four games, 2 power play points. I think he's just playing with a lot of confidence. I think he knows that he's a little bit skinny for the league. I think he gets pushed around and bumped around a lot, but I also think that he's realizing he can find little pockets to score in. He kind of reminds me of Artem Anisimov a little bit. He's kind of tall and lanky, doesn't really have the weight, or necessarily the strength, but he finds little pockets on the ice where he can show his offensive talent. Also, that being said, I mean, you know, he's playing right now with Zibanejad and Zuccarello, who, you know, Zuccarello is one of the best passers in the game, and Zibanejad has proven to be one of the best passers I've seen in a long time too. So he's playing with people that can get him the puck, and we know he can score from his past history. So I think it's a great combo. I think I give AV credit for setting that lineup. I think it's a solid line.
And that was evidenced last night. Zuccarello made a perfect feed right across to Buchnevich, who had found a little crease, little pocket of ice that he was open, and he fired right away. And no hesitation, this guy's putting the puck in the back of the net, and it's awesome to see. And we'll keep tabs on him for sure.
Yeah, but definitely.
Without further ado, we want to get to our interview here. So we'll talk Capitals. And we'll get into Verizon Center and maybe a little insight into the atmosphere there. Might even make a bet, so we'll see. But we're going to kick it to that right now. So here is Alex Viana. We would like now to welcome on our first ever guest to the program. He is a lifelong Washington Capitals fan. He went to school around the area, so he knows the ins and outs and the history of the team in the recent past. We'd like to welcome on AV, Alex Viana. Alex, how are the Caps doing?
Hey, going all right. You know, it's not the start that we would imagine for a Capitals team. We are kind of, every single game has been a little bit of a nail biter. You see a lot of bad things happening. But you know what? I'm kind of okay with that at this point.
Mm.
And, I mean, we can get into the nuts and bolts of everything, but I am content.
Okay.
Not happy.
Content.
I'm not like the Rangers right now.
Right, yeah, which is good to hear. Good to hear from a Caps fan. But so I just wanted to throw out some numbers, some early season numbers, and I'm going to ask you if they tell the story so far. Right, so the Caps, they're 9-4-1, 19 points in 14 games. They are scoring 2.64 goals a game, 18th in the league. They're giving up 2.36 goals a game. That's tied for 7th in the league. Power play percentage is at a 12.5% clip. It's 24th in the league. And your penalty killing right now is at 80.5%. That is 19th in the league. So do those numbers tell the story? Is it an early season struggle on the special teams?
Oh, it's definitely a special team struggle. And I think, you know, the only number that jumps out at me is not being indicative of how we're playing is the wins. Mm. we've had a couple games, as is every team, but we got a couple games that we should have lost. We scratched our way through it, had a lucky bounce our way. And, I mean, I'll take the points, but at this stage of the season, I'm not too worried about it. You know that special teams number with the Capitals and with the tools in our toolkit, that number's going to go up.
Yeah, I would think so.
Those are things I'm not too worried about, but generally it tells a story.
Yeah, the thing that jumps out for me is the goals for. I mean, Greg, what did you say it was?
2.64.
Which is what, 18th?
18th in the league, yep.
Yeah, 18th in the league, that jumps out to me. I mean, you guys have always been kind of a high octane offense that, you know, when you have Holtby playing how he was, you guys can score 5 goals a game. That number's got to be way down from last year. I don't know if that worries you at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely lower than it should be, and part of that's just attributed to sloppy play, and you're not seeing the type of tape-to-tape passes. There's a lot of stupid plays being made, especially in our own end, that just keeps the puck in our own defensive zone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're making that many mistakes this early into the season, those are things that you can fix, particularly with you got new guys like Eller trying to work with Burakovsky and Williams, and you got some fresh legs from like Sanford on the fourth line. But the top two pairings are largely the same as they were last year, and they should definitely be producing more. One would hope, at least.
Right, right. That's fair. I mean, I don't know necessarily how much of an impact the loss of a guy like Jason Chimera has on the penalty kill or something like that.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
I know he always used to kill the Rangers, so I don't miss seeing him in Washington, but, I mean, the Islanders are struggling, so...
Yeah, I wouldn't say I miss him too much. I mean, he was a great penalty killer. He brought a lot of speed, given his age.
Yeah.
But he always seemed to, you're right, he always seemed to bring his A game against the Rangers.
He did. So he really did.
I got to see a little bit more of his failures.
True, on the day-to-day. Right, right.
Yeah, and right. Don't forget, I mean, last year he had 40 points. He had 20 goals and 20 assists for the Caps last year. And that's pretty amazing for Jason Chimera. I mean, that's his career high. Yeah,
that was his career high.
Yeah.
Great year for him.
That's a pretty big piece to lose, especially on like the scoring and also on the penalty kill. So
True. So I guess the next question would be, who is your team MVP for the Caps so far this season? It's early, 14 games played, but who's the most valuable player? Maybe that that brings his teammates up, somebody that you didn't expect to be scoring.
Well, right, yeah. I mean, there's two names that jump out at me. And one, just as far as scoring ability and how many points he has so far, is Marcus Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
He's been an underrated player, especially in the Caps community. Always talks about trading him, but he is a skill forward.
Right,
you know, he brings that Swedish style play, and him and Kuznetsov just playing on a line together, they just dangle around everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been able to to really bring it this year, and I expect that to keep going.
Right.
But as far as bringing everyone up, you got a guy like Jay Beagle on the fourth line. Sometimes he plays in other positions, but Jay Beagle is one of my favorite people. Full time. He's the Caps guy that comes to the gym every day first, and he's the last to leave. He's just old school, kind of work hard.
It's a grinder.
He's a grinder, but you know he surprises everyone in his skill. I mean, he scored two goals in one period the other game, and he's got some hands to him. You know, you can't forget about that. But he embodies his role as the hardworking, creates something when there's nothing, and I think that's someone that people look up to definitely in the locker room.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think to Ranger fans that, and Greg, you probably agree to this, I think that sounds like Zuccarello in a nutshell, pretty much.
It sounds like Zuccarello to an extent, but I think just based on my past knowledge of Beagle, I believe he's more of a go into the dirty areas, throw his body around a little bit, kind of like a playoff type guy that is willing to do the dirty work. Is that a right opinion? Is that a right take?
Yeah, definitely. He's a little Beagle that likes to play in the mud.
Well said. I'm fired.
No, he's definitely someone you want to be playing during the playoffs, because yeah, you're exactly right. That's the kind of thing that brings success, that creates little mistake on their own defensive end, and he creates a lot of opportunities when there's nothing.
Right.
It's good to have.
It is.
I wanted to ask you about Mr. Alexander Ovechkin.
Grade eight.
So, you know, obviously he's up there always top, you know, three in the league, top five in the league, whatever you want to call it. Do you think he is the best scorer in the league? And do you think that maybe his performance has come down a little bit since his last couple of years, last 5 years?
No, I don't think it's really come down. I mean, do I think he's the best goal scorer? Of course I do.
Yeah, true. We're just asking Capitals fan who he thinks the best goal scorer.
But the thing is with Ovechkin, particularly in the past 2 years, you're seeing him really being utilized in a strategic way, just throwing him kind of more or less in the same spot. The Caps fans call it his office.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, left side. Right above the circle.
Yep.
He just
yep.
sits there and then waits for that slap shot to happen. Yep. And
I can remember many.
We've been the victim. We've been the victim many a time. Yes.
And you gotta, just from like a basic level, you gotta be like, this has to stop working at some point.
Right.
No, it never will.
You would think.
But the thing, especially with bringing in a guy like TJ Oshie, mm-hmm. with Nick Backstrom, TJ Oshie, Alex Ovechkin, and then you got good goal scorers in the back end like Niskanen and Dmitry Orlov, John Carlson. You got a lot of options, and when you have that consistent threat in that spot, that you're going to get a good scoring chance no matter if you throw the puck to that end. It makes teams either gravitate towards him, and then opens opportunities for a guy like TJ Oshie to score one in the slot, or you ignore him a little bit and he's gonna make you regret that. So
right.
he really, I mean, if you look at his numbers, he's incredibly consistent.
Mm-hmm.
He used to go through highs and lows back in the day, but that has not been the case in the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And you may attribute that to maturity, and that, I think that's more of an asset at this point. Of course, he's going to decline at some point, but
right.
I'm not mad about it right now.
Right.
Yeah,
no,
specifically with the style he plays. I mean, he plays that hard style, high energy, high hitting people all the time. He's got 50 plus goals in the last three seasons. Obviously, that speaks for itself.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I just wanted to add really quickly. I think it's an interesting contrast between the Capitals system of play and the Rangers at this point, because we really haven't had a guy like that where you can literally just tee it up for him and you know what you're going to get. I remember for years, and you're right, it's the same thing. Ovechkin would set up at that spot. You know it's coming. Everyone knows it's coming. Hank knows it's coming. And it doesn't matter. You just – the guy's shot – the shot was unstoppable in a sense. But the Rangers don't really have that guy. So we've kind of been forced to do it by committee, which I think has actually improved the team at least this year so far. But, yeah, it's probably very nice having a guy that you can just – the go-to guy.
Oh, yeah. We have a guy like that on paper.
Well.
But not in real life.
Rick Nash. Right.
Rick Nash.
Who could it be?
Yeah.
True. All right. Well, we wanted to get into a topic that you might not love talking about, but what are your feelings on the veracity and the truth of the capital curse?
This is where my pain comes in.
sorry to do it to you, but I had to.
No, it's, I don't believe in a curse. But I mean, if the Cubs can do it, we can.
Right. There you go.
And we're going to, yeah, right. And so what we've seen in the past number of years is a drastic change in the style of play. Early in, 2009, when we were, everyone was watching the Capitals. We were getting a lot of bandwagon fans then.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't have a good – we had a tremendous regular season, and it just doesn't translate to offseason success. And there you could point to specific things that went wrong. We were a run-and-gun style of play. We were we had a lot of deficiencies in the defensive pairings. We didn't even have a good second line center for many years at all.
True, I remember that.
You had a guy like Brooks Like. He's not a good second line center.
No, not a second line.
And then we were going relatively deep into the playoffs, but you're just not going to get a lot of success through that style of play. And through a couple of coaching changes, some really stupid ones. You eventually come up with Coach Trotz, and he has been a miracle worker for the Capitals. He puts in a good offensive, defensive, kind of power forward style type of play that really works well. As it's more of an old school Rangers type of
like a Tortorella-esque, yeah.
A little bit. I mean, we're not. Alex Ovechkin isn't going blocking shots with his face, and then getting rewarded for it.
It's an interesting message that Torts sends out. Yes.
I miss him. I guess.
Oh, so do I. Of course.
Oh, everyone does.
what you have with the past 2 years is something a little different. We have largely on paper fixed a number of those issues. We've got Evgeny Kuznetsov in the second line center on a cheap contract, and he is, as you probably know, kicking some serious ass.
Yeah, he's good.
And great. Yeah, player. It's so fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought in a guy like Matt Niskanen. We brought in Brooks Orpik. Dmitry Orlov is getting maturing a bit in the past. The past two seasons, I really thought we had a Stanley Cup caliber team.
Mm-hmm.
We go to two game sevens, the one we lost against the Rangers, the one we lost against the Penguins, and it could have easily gone the other way, and we could have easily been talking right now about what the Capitals have been doing so right.
Yep.
So it's kind of the perspective I have on it is just that, well, you can't win them all. But on the flip side of things, we really do have a window here where this is going to be sustainable for us.
Right.
And that kind of ends this year.
Hmm.
So I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, so for listeners out there, just since Alex Ovechkin's acquisition in 2004 – the Caps have won 6 division titles in the 11 seasons, but never made it out of the second round. So then I ask you, is this the year they make it out of the second round? Maybe?
I sure as heck hope so. I mean, we're gonna be, you know what it's gonna be. It's not. There's no mystery in our division that much. It's gonna be Capitals versus Penguins or Rangers, one of those, both of those. So we definitely can. I'm praying. I don't know. I converted to every religion.
Yeah, with that being said, right. I mean, it's really hard to make it out of the Metro. I mean, the Metro is a really, really good division with some top teams. So,
yeah, I think
not making it out of the second round is not that crazy when you really look at the division. So.
True. The top three teams, I think, are arguably three of the top in the East, along with Montreal, obviously. Right. But you have the Rangers with 22 points. You have the Penguins with 22 points. And the Caps are there with 19. As of right now, the New Jersey Devils are also sitting there at 19. I'm not sure that success is sustainable. I mean, they have been pretty decent to open the year, but I just don't know that they have the scoring, to sustain a place at the top of the division for the rest of the year. But we will see. I think it's top loaded for sure with the top three teams. What are your thoughts on the Rangers so far? So I know it's usually Pittsburgh and New York and Washington towards the top. Have you been monitoring at all? What are people talking about maybe throughout the Caps community in terms of how the Rangers' outlook is looking this year?
Well, obviously it feels different getting off to a real hot start. Just like the goals per game, what is it, like 4.5 or something like that?
Right.
I don't have the number in front of me.
It's like insane. Low fours. Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, 4.13.
You know,
yeah.
You gotta be loving this. At the end of the day, it's just gotta be fun hockey to watch. When you got your third and fourth line acting like another team's bona fide second line.
Right. Arguably first. True.
Yeah, for some teams, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of mind-boggling. I don't think it's sustainable, but it's definitely something that, you know, you got to be happy about if you're the Rangers fan. I would be a little worried. This does seem like more of a style. I mean, you've done well defensively, so I'm not going to take that away from you. But it's much more aggressive, puck passing, down the ice fast, a lot of reliance on speed. And that's something that hasn't historically translated well into the playoffs. So once teams' defensive pairs figure out you know, Michael Grabner, they're gonna shut him down.
If they figure him out.
just talking from Capitals experience, doing that style for a couple of years, once you get to the playoffs and you have a potential seven games to play against each other, they learn, they study, and they adjust, and it kind of takes away from that shock factor of playing against such a unique and fast team. So, I mean, that being said, it's incredible hockey to watch. I'm jealous, and but I just think it's not sustainable, particularly when it comes into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important to realize, though, and I think Greg alluded to it earlier. And actually, you alluded to it also, that just the depth we have. Like you're saying, in the playoffs, a team can adjust game to game depending on who's playing well. But the Rangers, every single line is playing well. And what's happening in the season so far is that, you know, in the beginning of the year, it was Zibanejad and Kreider playing really well together. And then Hayes and Miller picked it up. So each line is having their own spot. Now the Grabner line, the fourth line's picking it up a little bit. So hopefully in a playoff matchup, that can continue from game to game where, hey, if one line's getting shut down tonight, let's have another line pick it up and score three goals. And I'll tell you what, if Grabner can score 30 goals this year, that's the steal of the century right there in a player.
Yeah, 30's asking a lot for Grabner. But
yeah, I mean,
that's
a crazy ballpark number. But
agreed,
still.
Agreed. Hey, he's on pace for it, but it's
he
early.
Is on pace for it.
It's early. So
we'll see if that's sustainable.
Yeah, we will.
Probably not.
The one point that I will, the one retort that I have. Really quickly, though, is you mentioned that the speed game might not necessarily translate to success in the playoffs, which I can see why, and I understand that it turns into a chess game in a seven-game series. Everyone's learning each other's traits and the way that the other teams play. But I think that the landscape might be changing to an extent, just watching these speed teams dominate, like Pittsburgh last year in the Cup. They just flat out won based on their speed. The Sharks couldn't keep up with them. And that was – maybe that's the way that the league's leaning a little bit. I think if you have the young guys and the speed up and down the roster, that might be tougher, say, a third pair to handle, especially given all those extra games, all those extra miles skated by the time that June rolls around. But we'll see.
I hope so. I mean, it's good for hockey if we just for the spectator sport of watching, see these teams flying down the ice and making these crazy plays. I hope you're right. And to some degree, of course. But I just don't. You watch a team like Dallas Stars just do exceedingly well and then crash and burn a bit in the playoffs. So we'll see.
Right. I think we're also our respective teams we've had the privilege of having excellent goaltending, which is a blessing with Hank and Holtz back there. But can never underestimate good goaltending in the playoffs.
I think we'd kind of be amiss if we didn't ask a Capitals fan on just their thoughts of Henrik Lundqvist. He's done some incredible things to you over the years, and I don't know your thoughts on him just briefly.
We've had our battles.
Incredible wouldn't be my word. It would devastating. Yeah. Or, you know, not fair. No, he obviously he's just a fundamentally sound goaltender, and that's what you really look for when you're evaluating goaltenders. Is what's their positioning on different plays? That he has all the nuts and bolts of what he's supposed to be doing down. Whereas you watch a less experienced goaltender, just plain worse goaltender, and they're going to have a lot more mental gaffes, if you will. Mm-hmm. But with Lundqvist, he's getting older.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he is.
I don't underestimate him, but I'm not afraid of him as I would be a couple of years ago.
That's a totally fair take, I think.
That is definitely a fair thing to say.
Although I know that, you know, you guys are built on your Russian stars, and we have a goalie in the pipeline over there in Russia. He's been playing pretty well. Igor Shestyorkin.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, we'll see. He's dominating in the KHL, but we'll see. It's still Hank's team. I'm not going to really put too much on anyone else at the moment.
Because did you practice that pronunciation?
No, that was on the spot. I was pretty happy with the way that turned out. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. But, yeah. So
we can always use more Russians here in the capital. we got another Russian goaltender working. He was one of our first round draft pick. I could be wrong. Second, Samsonov. He's supposed to be real. He's huge.
Yeah, that's the least surprising thing.
He's supposed to be most likely to take over from Holtby.
Wow. Wow, you're already talking about the future past Holtby.
Yeah, that's pretty far in the future.
you always got to be thinking.
Yeah, that's fair. That's true.
That's true.
I have no free time.
The complete opposite know. In Rangers world. We're trying to slow time down with Lundqvist.
Right. Yeah. We don't need to move on yet. Not quite yet.
No.
But no. I just really quickly also wanted to talk about the Capitals logo. So what are your thoughts? I know that you guys used to rock the eagle and you had the actual Capitol building on the jerseys for a while, but it's been pretty consistent with the Capitals with the stick and the puck in there. What are your thoughts?
Well, although I have those jerseys from the 90s and I love them, from a design perspective, they were atrocious. But you all have some of those jerseys too, and
oh yeah,
and although Rangers are typically more conservative. But no, I really do like our logo. I know, you know, if I was to design a new one, if the Capitals' history didn't exist, it probably wouldn't be lettering. But given that distinct look that it has, and the kind of room it leaves for a secondary logo, like the Weagle, that's what we call it, the Weagle, to kind of take over like a back and forth between the two logos that you don't really see in other teams. I love it. I just, it's something that you see a bit of adjustment between the old Capitals lettering with our throwback jerseys and the modern one with our piping jerseys, and you kind of wonder where it's going to go next.
Right.
But I love it. If you're any of the listeners are interested in hockey logos, hockey jerseys, concepts, things like that, there's two great websites that have just an outpouring of fan contributions. It's iceletics.com and hockeyjerseyconcepts.com. I go on them every day. Just browse.
I will absolutely be checking those out.
Check that out.
Yeah.
What for listeners out there, I don't think many people have been over to the Verizon Center. So what's the general feeling at the Verizon Center? And on top of that, how would Ranger fans be accepted there?
I think Capital fans, generally, I mean, of course, you got every team's got their assholes.
Of course.
But generally, compared to different areas like Philly, New York, you're not gonna get too much damage here. You got a lot of young professionals. You got older professionals that come to the games. Fan base isn't at time as wildly.
It's a DC crowd,
better or for worse, right? At certain times, so you do not need to wear a helmet if you come to the Verizon Center.
Okay, good to know.
That's good.
But it's so much fun. You get up from the metro. You're rising up from the metro, and you just hear the banging of the drums of the street performers, people outside, just like in the middle of a city street. They closed down, I think it's F Street, and sea of red everywhere. So, and especially when it comes to the playoffs, there's nothing like it.
Then you hear your first,
you guys have the worst.
That always kept me up at night. Yeah.
Hold on. You look across the league. I'm going to defend the horn guy here.
Okay, please do.
You look across the league, you got other horns, and they are just, they make you cringe.
Yeah.
And it's off tune. Yeah. It's not right. And then you got a guy like horn guy who's consistent, who looks like he lives at the bottom of the Verizon Center. You got a nasty beard. His entire life goal is to play that tooting horn.
Wow. He's a devoted horn guy.
That haunts a lot of Ranger fans, that noise, man. I'll tell you.
It does. It does.
You know what haunts me? The go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm like, oh, hey. I want it to die.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, the Rangers and the Caps actually don't play again until February 19th. And they play.
That's a shame.
They play three games though in the span of about a month and a half, from February to April. So those games, you know, will be meaningful. Probably a couple game of the weeks there. So we will see what happens with the Rangers and the Capitals, two teams that are fully expected to sit towards the top of the Metro and probably make some noise in the playoffs as we go on here. But just wanted to thank you again, Alex, for joining us and being our first official guest of the program.
Before you sign off,
last thoughts?
I just got an idea. Let's do I will bet you.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Those three games, right?
Uh-huh.
In February, you said?
Yep.
I didn't look that far in advance.
Okay.
The Capitals will get more points from those three games than you.
What are we betting?
We're betting a shot glass.
Done.
Whoever wins, the loser has to buy a. So if I win, you buy me a Capital shot glass.
Done. How about this? The loser, if I win, I'm buying you a Rangers shot glass.
Okay.
And you can buy me a Well, in theory, you would be buying me a Capitals one.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yes. So it'll be a trophy.
Right.
I guess we'll be seeing you back on the pod in March or April. You will be a
recurring guest. Yes.
I'll be enjoying my. I'll be sipping my Merlot out of your little shot glass.
Well, we'll see about that. But yeah, absolutely. Thank you again for joining the program, and we'll have you back soon.
Yep.
And that was our first ever Real Talk Rangers interview. Our guest Alex did an excellent job. I thought that the conversations were great. It was cool to get another perspective on another team in here, and we will definitely be focusing more on getting some more guests in here. That was a great experience.
Yeah, I think it's good for the listeners just to get a change of voice. They're probably really sick of hearing our voices.
Yep.
I think it's also really interesting just to get different fans, you know, especially someone who's had so many battles throughout the years with the Rangers, a Capitals fan, to weigh in on some of his thoughts of the Rangers, like we talked about specifically Lundqvist. You know, Lundqvist kind of frustrated the Caps, is I'd say about equally as much as Ovechkin is frustrated Ranger fans. So I think it's just an interesting dynamic to get other people's opinions on it. So it was really, really great interview, and I hope to have some more in the future.
Absolutely. Recurring guest, Alex Viana. He'll be back.
Definitely. Definitely.
So now we want to get into some quick hits around the league a little bit. I'm going to start off at the top with the excellence that has been Carey Price so far. So coming back off major injury, this guy is the first goalie in NHL history to win his first 10 starts of the year. So he is 10-0-0. He's got a 1-4 goals against right now. A 957 save percentage to go along with 2 shutouts. So, I mean, apart from the one game where they left Montoya out to dry hilariously for all 10 goals, if you put Price in the net, you're going to win. That's kind of been the way that Montreal has been proceeding this year. So they're a scary, scary team up there.
Yeah, can we just award the Vezina now?
Right, yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, 10-0 with a one, whatever you just said, a low one. I mean, that's, I don't know. I can't even believe it, to be honest with you. It's unbelievable to see a goalie play that well so consistently so early in the season.
Especially with goalies generally tending to struggle as more goals are being scored this year, it seems like. Yeah, it stands out even more. Crazy stat.
You know, everyone sort of knew that Carey Price always was kind of the best goalie in the league. You just worry about his health. He's been hurt so many times in the last few years. So I think even Canadiens fans now, I mean, if I were a Canadiens fan, I'd be thinking to myself, this is great. I hope this continues, but do we need to rest him more frequently because we're worried about him getting injured again? Or do we just let this ride and just hope to God that he does not get hurt again? That would be my question as a Canadiens fan.
Yeah. But I think less Canadiens at the moment are, they're on cloud nine, especially after last year. I think they're doing okay for now.
And they've got some really solid players playing some good puck over there in Montreal.
Yeah, Galchenyuk. Yep.
Galchenyuk's having a great year.
Radulov has played pretty well.
Yep, Shea Weber's really coming to his own over there in Montreal.
Cannon last night. Yep.
Yeah, that was a blast from the point last night.
Yep.
Yeah, they're really clicking on all cylinders. I don't see any, you know, like you said, that one game is just a kind of a outlier in their season so far, but if they continue this, they're gonna make a run. You know, they'll make the playoffs, and we'll see what they can do. The playoffs are a different beast as we've seen for years. But
absolutely, it's also worth pointing out that their division is not looking all too strong. I mean, compared to ours, I think the Metro, as we've discussed, has the top heavy teams. I mean, the Rangers, Penguins, and Caps are all solid. All have at least 19 points, and then over in the Atlantic, it's the Canadiens with 27 points, 13-1-1, and the next best team is the Senators, and they're 9-5 with 18 points. So it's a big, big difference over there. So I think you might see at some point, if they continue to play this way, they might get out to a huge lead a la Washington last year and maybe cruise the last month or month and a half. But it's still early. Yeah. But we'll
see. And that that division's very interesting because, you know, beginning of the year, no one would have predicted Canadians or Senators being the top of that division.
Exactly.
I mean, you're looking at the, you know, everyone pretty much expected Lightning to be up there. The Bruins, maybe.
Yeah,
Red Wings,
Florida
pretty
was
good.
Pretty good last year. Yeah.
Right. So it's sort of a strange division as of now. It is early, but after the standings after Thanksgiving break, I forget the exact numbers, but they rarely change. Mm-hmm. There's some stat, I think like 80% or 90-something percent. You know, the teams that are in the playoffs after Thanksgiving remain in the playoffs. So it's pretty substantial to have a good start, and we'll see what happens with the Canadians.
Yeah, we'll have to look out for that for sure. Let's see. What else is going on around the league?
So I wanted to talk about the save that Ryan Miller made against Detroit the other day. I don't know if anyone saw it. If you didn't, go check it out. So what happened was Miller had actually gotten pulled, Ryan Miller. And then the Red Wings got the puck back in the middle of the ice, and I'm assuming his bench was yelling at him to get back into the net.
Screaming at him, yeah.
Because they had turned the puck over. So Ryan Miller turns around and starts sprinting back towards his net, and so Zetterberg has it at about the red line. Zetterberg shoots it in to, you know, wide open net. And I'm talking Ryan Miller, web gem of the year. He made a center field sprawled out diving catch to save a goal on an empty net.
It was great.
This was definitely a web gem. The Baseball Tonight guys, I'm sure if baseball was still going on, would have talked about it.
Yeah.
Just a flat out web gem. But if you didn't have time to see it, go see it. It's a great save. And Zetterberg skates by him after and just says something to him. I would really have liked to hear what he had to say there.
Great stop.
In a little bit more somber news. Recently, Brian Bickle, the Chicago Blackhawk who won a cup there, has just recently been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. We obviously offer our thoughts and prayers to that and hope that he can recover and get well soon. He did have a quote saying that he hopes he can get back onto the ice as soon as possible. So there's hope in that he has a, you know, a good prognosis there to hopefully get back onto the ice. But we wish him the best in his recovery. You got anything else?
Yeah, I just wanted to really quickly mention our old buddy Torts and the Columbus Blue Jackets. So recently, they've been playing some decent hockey. I mean, through 13 games, they're 7-4-2. They've been scoring a lot of goals. So they put up the 10 against Montreal. Last night, they scored 8 against St. Louis. And we will actually be getting our first look at them soon. So that's something to keep an eye on. Have you ever heard of Alexander Wenberg?
I hadn't until about a week ago.
Right. 22-year-old. I mean, he's got 15 points in 13 games, 13 assists. He's playing pretty well. Nick Foligno's a solid captain. They're an interesting team, and I also love their goal celebration with the actual cannon going off. That's pretty great. That's got to be electric.
I think the big story there, you know, aside from the things you just said, is kind of the resurrection of Sergei Bobrovsky. He played really well for Russia in the Worlds, and I think a lot of people were questioning his ability to play in the NHL. He was hurt a lot last year. He kind of came back towards the end of the year and had a really bad season. But so far, he's got a 2.53 goals against with a .918 save percentage. 2.33 with a .931 save percentage. 7 wins on the season. You know, he's having a good year on a team that doesn't play all that great defense, but like you said, are scoring a lot of goals now. So it's an interesting team. And you know, Tortorella's, you know, of course, got them working hard as always and blocking shots left and right. So we'll see what happens there. They've been kind of a shaky team the last couple of years, but hopefully I'd like to see them have a good team.
Yeah,
I will say that.
They definitely have some characters on that team, so that'll be interesting. Also, really quickly wanted to mention two more things. So Patrick Laine, so far, he has 3 hat tricks in his first 14 games in the NHL. Scored 11 goals leading the league so far. Yeah, there's not really anyone questioning the future of goal scoring in the NHL and what it looks like and what its name is. So that's another reason for Winnipeg to be very, very positive.
Yeah, and the other reason is they have the points leader in the league on their team also in Scheifele.
They do. they do.
You know, they're one of those teams also that has, and Trouba coming back, they have a lot of upside.
Right.
They haven't really been able to put it together this year, but hopefully maybe in the second half of the year they'll be able to put a run together and actually you know, prove to the league that they're a legitimate team.
Yeah, that would be cool to see.
The other thing, Vegas, yeah. The Vegas hockey team, has come out and said that they will be announcing their logo and also their team name on November 22nd.
Yeah, finally.
So hopefully, you know, it'll be something captivating. It'll be something that the league can look forward to. Real shout out to the Vegas podcast. We're going to be joining them in a few weeks, I believe, to talk about the Vegas team and also the Rangers. So look out for that. We'll keep you posted on that.
Absolutely.
But I think it's exciting to get a new team in the league, and the expansion draft and everything that comes with that. We'll talk as it gets closer, but that'll all be very interesting to see what goes on there.
Of course. And we'll get into more details with that. I think that the league has done some things to make it so that the team comes in and is somewhat competitive right away, but that's all to be talked about later. I just wanted to generally mention that news. Also, last thing around the league, and we're going to bring it back home with this, Igor Shestyorkin. He is the goalie of the future, it looks like, for the Rangers. 20-year-old kid playing in the KHL. He won the KHL Goalie of the Month in October. Right now, he's sitting, since September 21st, he's 12-0-0. He's sitting with a 1.26 goals against, a .956 save percentage. And he also already has 7 shutouts in 20 games this year, which is 2 shy of 9 shutouts in 38 games, which is the record in the KHL. Just something to definitely keep your eyes on, because, as we know, Hank can't play forever, and it's really cool to have a young gun rising up through the system playing like this. I mean, this kid's going to get a chance sooner rather than later. So just something to look out for there.
Now, I mean, those stats are crazy.
Those are crazy stats, right?
That's just as good as, you know, Carey Price is playing this year, obviously on different levels, very different levels. But,
true. But,
you know, it's a good start, and he's got time to develop. I think that's something to definitely look forward to. And the timing is pretty much perfect with Lundqvist, you know, coming, not saying he's coming down, but he's on his tail end of his career for sure.
Yep.
So it's good to have something in the pipelines as long as we don't trade it away, which
exactly
with Jeff Gordon doesn't seem to be the way he likes to do things. So
it's a good start. We trust. Nothing against Brady Skapski, but it's cool to see a guy dominating in the KHL at that age.
Right.
But yeah, so let's quickly get into the quotes. I know we're running a little over our general time today, but that's what happens when you have a thrilling guest segment on, as we will throughout now, hopefully, have more guests on. So I'm gonna
start here.
Sure.
This is something we kind of already talked about, but I just want to bring it back. So this is a quote from a coach, and I'll just go into it, and you can probably guess who it is. It says, "I'd rather spend time scoring chancing charts than listening to this crap about the Corsi and the Fenwick because those stats don't apply. I don't care what anyone says in this league. They don't apply to the game of hockey. The scoring chances for and against is what tells you the story of individual players, your team concept, and as far as what's going on the ice."
Wow.
Who's that?
That's John Tortorella.
That is John Tortorella. The thing I love the most about it is, first of all, you can imagine how he said it, just so aggressive and you know, but the fact that he calls it the Corsi and the Fenwick instead of just Corsi
stuff.
And Fenwick
Clueless.
Is just classic Tortorella. I just love, you know, he's one of those guys you just gotta love everything that comes out of his mouth. But just a great quote there. I think it is interesting. I'm not a big advanced statistics guy either. You know, I think it has its purpose, but I agree that I like to look at players and their stats and just the chances they get. You know, that can be a discussion for another time, but advanced statistics have been used throughout the league now for the last few years. Some GMs use them exclusively and some just use them sort of as an added benefit. It's kind of interesting to see where that's going to go in the future, but I personally don't like looking at them all that much.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I know that the new Coyotes GM, who's the 27-year-old youngest GM ever, John Chayka, I believe his name is, I know he's basically removed at this point to just going based entirely on those stats, but I don't agree with it either. I think you got to look at the eye test and the locker room and the intangibles, but there's definitely merit to those numbers, but that'll be a discussion for another time. My quote, I have one here. So this is the quote. There was that attitude in the West, yeah, that feeling that we can beat any team in the East, that there weren't as many great teams over there. That was definitely the feeling within the dressing rooms in the West. The East has obviously improved. Maybe we were a little biased playing in the West, that we felt most of the better teams were there. I know I felt that way, but now that I'm here, it's different. It's at least getting more equal in the amount of really, really good teams in each conference. So this is obviously from a guy who played in the West and is now in the East, and he's just commenting on, you know, the changing landscape of hockey and how some good teams are rising up in the East.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Who do you think said that?
Is it Shea Weber?
No. No, good guess. Good guess. It's okay. It's Justin Williams, the Capitals.
Oh, okay.
Ex Chicago Blackhawk. So.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. That is an interesting take.
Or King. King, yeah.
Yeah, the West has, yeah, the West sort of was cocky for a while.
Yeah.
You know, they had a lot of good teams, but you're right. The West definitely wasn't as competitive as we've talked about many times, with the Metro being such a competitive division. Yeah, the West was a little bit weaker. They had some more dominant teams up top, but less dominant teams on the bottom.
Yep.
And the West has kind of always been well rounded, or the East has been well rounded. So that's interesting to look into.
Yeah, definitely.
The last quote I have is just about. And we talked about it earlier with the game in Vancouver, the whole concussion protocol. So like the NFL does now, the NHL has picked up the thing where they have outside observers watching the games. And if they think that someone has a concussion-like symptoms or may be suffering from a concussion, they can call in and have them pulled out of the game, which, you know, I think is good for overall health. But I think there's some details about it that need to be worked out. But this is a quote from a player that we know and love. It says, quote, "I think they really have to look into this rule because it's not like a skater where you can sit out a shift. A goalie, it's a whole other ball game. If he's saying he's fine, at some point you have to go with it. I think there's going to be an issue if this happens in the playoffs and you have guys calling from upstairs to make a decision. I'm not going to go off easy. I'm telling you that."
Wow.
So
powerful.
Who do you think that
stuff.
Is?
Kingly stuff. I'm going to say
yes.
That was Henrik Lundqvist.
It's Henrik Lundqvist, and I think he makes a great point in that, you know, in a regular season game, it clearly affected that game on Tuesday. I mean, he comes in cold, gives up two goals right away, and that's basically the game.
Yeah.
I think that he makes a good point as far as the playoffs are concerned. If that were to happen in a playoff game, there'd be a much bigger uproar. I think they're, you know, you have to err on the side of caution with player safety, but at the same time, like he mentions, you know, if a goalie's saying he's okay, you got to take his word for it. On the other side, there's not many goalies in the league, if any, that are going to say they want to come out of a game.
Right.
So I think there's a very fine line of what you can do with this rule. Next week, the GMs are actually meeting up to have their meetings that they have every so often. They're actually going to talk about that rule, but more so if the goalie should be able to warm up before he gets put into the game, which right now isn't the rule, which in my mind doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Agreed.
I mean, if you're getting pulled into a game because of an injury, not being able to warm up makes absolutely no sense to anyone. And I'm not really sure why they would not change that rule, but we'll see what happens. But I think that it's a very interesting rule. I think it's good for player safety, but at the same time, it could make substantial changes in momentum in games. So
of course, yeah, that pretty much happened. I mean, when Hank came in on Tuesday, he had like 20 seconds to literally just stretch once,
yeah,
and then he was
no in. Shots on him or
no
anything.
Shots on goal, no time at all. I think the league needs to address this. I think it's a valid point to bring up and a point of discussion, I think, in the future, and I'm glad that the GMs are going to talk about it. But yeah, let's really quickly wrap up the show with the week ahead, including tonight, Sunday, November 13th. We are in Edmonton, closing out the second half of a back-to-back. I believe Hank will be playing his second straight night. Edmonton, obviously, we've played them. They're 9-5-1, top of their division, solid team, entertaining game. Very much looking forward to playing this one. I think it should be a great contest.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Tuesday, November 15th, we are in Vancouver for a rematch. Hopefully they have a better showing in Vancouver. I think something tells me they will. Vancouver 5-8-1, probably a team and a game that we should be winning at this point in the season. And then finally, on Friday, November 18th, we are in Columbus to end the road trip, the four-game road trip. And Columbus is 7-4-2. We've mentioned them a little bit. Should be an interesting game. Cool to see the progress that they've made. And I'm sure that MSG camera will be zoomed in on Torts, so we're all looking forward to that.
And I think something to look at there is just whenever Rick Nash goes back to Columbus, he always plays the game of his season. I think he'll probably put up another game, good game against Columbus going back there. So we'll see.
Hope so. That will do it for our 10th ever episode, our 10th show. We thank you guys so much for listening. We're going to keep improving and getting more guests on and spreading the Rangers content that you know and love. So please subscribe. Keep telling your friends. Definitely rate us 5 stars if you feel we deserve it. And be on the lookout for more guests in the future. So let's go Rangers. For Derek, I'm Greg. And that was Real Talk. This little town blues. Are melting away. I'm gonna make a brand new start of it. Up to you, New York.